Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Wild horses keep dragging me away.
Packers head to Denver to take on the 11-2 Broncos on Sunday afternoon. It's kind of an obscure place to play professional sports because you got the altitude thing. It's not a very common opponent for the Green Bay Packers. And I was looking at the forecast here thinking, well, get the team outside, practice all week in the cold weather because you got Denver in December. You got to play this game outside. I looked at the forecast for Denver, 62 and sunny.
It's going to be lovely.
It was beautiful, right? It was a late September day.
Well, you know Denver, they can get snow and then it can melt and be beautiful and warm the next day.
And no doubt.
Just like that.
Shorts weather for those covering the game. Jason Wilde covers the Packers expertly for ESPN Wisconsin. Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon. And, of course, excellent work online at channel3000.com. Hey, Wilde.
So Gina does a phenomenal job as your producer. She's incredible, right?
Agreed. And
I'm always, every time I come on, I'm eager to see what song she chooses that would be related to who the Packers are playing that week. And so I've taken now to trying to guess it ahead of time. And I guessed Rocky Mountain High by John Denver.
That would have been a good guess.
And she went Wild Horses, Broncos, Garth Brooks, still a great choice. But she actually said that my choice was better. And now that I've heard Wild Horse, I don't think my choice was better. Mine was more obvious.
Yeah.
And she doesn't do obvious. So I think she wins.
Three
and
for
I can't
a loop.
Wait till next week. Yeah, it was really well done.
Maybe before we get to the game here, Jason, coming up and where the Packers stand, maybe she'll have to play some music while wearing lederhosen. The NFL announcing games in Munich in 2026 and 2028. They've not announced the teams that'll play here, but I don't know why, but does my mind said with all the German roots here in the state of Wisconsin that Munich would be maybe the perfect place for the Packers to play. They may not like it, of course. Overseas trips haven't gone terribly well for them. But my first thought was, oh, yeah, the Packers are playing in one of these.
Yeah, I had the same thought. And I also had the same thought when I looked at the weather forecast for Denver that you had. I've been to Denver a bunch. One of my good friends, Arnie Stapleton, is there. And, yeah, you'll get like 8 inches of snow in the morning, and by the afternoon it'll all be gone, and you'll be playing golf. It's one of the strangest realms I've ever been in. But, yes, look, they are a slam dunk. If they don't go in 26, they'll go in 28. Like, I don't think there's any doubt. The question that I have, you know, and Mark Murphy made this comment on his way out the door. He said the team should be prepared that they intend to have teams play one international game at least every other year. Packers don't have one this year. I would think the 26 makes sense. They've got their own little fan base there. The NFL started doing these kind of organized fan base things, and the Packers are one of the designated teams in Germany. I will be very, very, very surprised if they are not one of the two teams playing in that game next season.
That would be an awesome trip to take. Meanwhile, we've got fans heading out to Denver for the big game on Sunday. Do you think that the Packers can beat Denver on the road? I mean, we've been on this hot streak. We're coming off this huge win against the Bears, but can we do it against Denver on the road?
So I must answer your question with a question, Jessica. And that
okay.
is, I saw on social media that you were flying back from somewhere recently.
Yes. Oh, you
is
saw
that right?
That. You did. I think
I did,
the flight
yes.
attendant, by the way, last night, which is a whole other story.
So when you travel, because one of the things that I miss from covering this team for the first 20 plus years and being on the road for every road game, I have a little bit of FOMO when it comes to that. But one of the things I would miss would be seeing the fans on the flight home on Monday as to whether or not they were all joyous, or they were all hung over, even though the Packers won, or if they were downtrodden. So I'll be curious to see how they come back from Denver, but I won't be on the flights because I'll be here. I would say to your question, though, this is going to be a tough one. They got a really good defense, but I think they're, You know, they're 11-2, but I think they're a little bit, I don't want to call them a paper tiger, but I don't think that they're quite as good as their record makes it look. Now, they deserve credit, but as Matt LaFleur pointed out, they've been trailing. They had come back in the fourth quarter, 9 out of their 11 wins. They were losing in the fourth quarter. And so that you give them credit, obviously, for rallying, but I don't think they're an ultra-dominant team. I was surprised, frankly, that the Packers opened as favored in this game. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out for sure. And the one thing I keep thinking about, Packers beat the Bears last Sunday. If they lose and the Bears do what they should against a very bad Cleveland Browns team, although the Packers didn't do what they should have done against them earlier in the season, the Bears win, the Packers lose this, and we're right back where we started come Saturday the 20th. With the winner getting first place in the NFC North again, just like it was on Sunday.
You know, it just goes to show you just how muddled things are. The NFL scheduling system is just brilliant, right? I mean, it happens every year. A team goes from worst to first, or at least at the very least, in the playoff hunt. And that happens to be the case here right now in the NFC North division. As much as Matt LaFleur has got coach speak down, Jason, he is right in saying there's not a second to breathe, especially when you get to December, because of what you just mentioned. And if you look at the Bears situation, they were on top of everything. The NFC North, the NFC, and then one loss, and all of a sudden, they're hanging on by a thread here to the final playoff spot in the conference. So it can be incredibly damaging, especially this time of year, given where everybody is. So many teams are in it.
Yeah, and you would, to your point from earlier, like you would look at it and say, well, you know, it's out of the NFC. It's an AFC game. It's not a divisional game. Like, you know, while it's an interesting measuring stick game against the currently the number one seed in the AFC, you know, it's not really going to affect your playoff standing. Well, actually, it really is. I mean, this is a critical game. You know, the weird thing about the Packers with that tie is that it kind of takes the tiebreakers and all the stuff about, oh, what's head-to-head and strength of schedule and this and that. It kind of throws that out the window. But you're right. It is, and the parity this season, you know, the NFL does a great job of making most teams feel like they've got a chance every year. But there's no doubt that this year, more than any other, it is muddled, to say the least.
So with the win over Chicago, the Packers sit atop the division, and they look playoff bound. But obviously, as we've been talking about, there's awareness that the season's back half still includes some tough opponents here. And any slip up, you know, could derail them. How sustainable do you think this momentum is for a playoff push with what you've been seeing over the last couple of games?
Yeah, I think they're a legitimately good team, first of all, Jessica. Now, in terms of momentum, man, like one of the things that's critical to that is staying healthy, right? I mean, the earlier this season, you were looking at the Indianapolis Colts going, wow, you know, they've revitalized Daniel Jones. They've got one of the best running backs in football with former Badger Jonathan Taylor. They're a force to be reckoned with. And now they're calling a 44-year-old grandpa out of a 5-year retirement. I mean, you think about Phillip Rivers, who I'm assuming is going to be their starting quarterback on Sunday. Like, he's a semifinalist for this year's Hall of Fame class. You have to be out of the league for 5 years in order to be eligible. He last played in 2020, and their season has taken such a turn that they're calling him out of retirement.
You think they call him Grandpa on the field? Grandpa, can.
I mean, he's got 10 kids. So pops, you know, I'm sure there's a joke or two about whether he and his wife live in a shoe. I don't know of a player that has done what he is going to attempt to do here. Like, look, Rodgers is 42. It's not that big of a difference, but yeah, to do this, to be, have been home and not playing football for as long as he hasn't been, and for him to be coming back is crazy. But my point is that you never know what's lurking around the corner in the NFL. And, you know, one example is Tucker Kraft. Was playing at, it might have been the best tight end in football, and then you lose him, and you saw what the Packers offense did the next couple of weeks. They struggled trying to figure things out. But it looks like right now they've got to figure it out again, right? They've got incredible contributions from Christian Watson, et cetera. But I'm just always leery of making any proclamations because you just don't know what's waiting for you around the corner.
You know, I shared the same thought as you did, Jason. When Kraft went down, I was like, oh boy, like, how can this team really compete for a Super Bowl without Kraft, who is having such an incredible breakout year? And that was sort of at the time Watson started to reemerge, at least practicing and then eligible and active and now contributing at an extremely high level. Does Watson's reemergence sort of make you rethink that idea? Oh, wait a minute now. Maybe the Packers can win a Super Bowl without Tucker Kraft because of what this guy's doing.
Yeah, I have reevaluated to some degree. That's a good question. But again, it just feels to me like Watson has now become not Kraft, but Kraft-ish, because he's the guy that tilts the field in their direction, right? I mean, look, Romeo Dobbs is a good player, no doubt. He's kind of got a niche, though, right? Now it's third downs, it's red zone stuff. He didn't even have a catch the other day. I think Reed is going to give them a big lift. We've talked about it before that I think I underestimated how much they missed him. But if they're going to go as far as they might have gone with a healthy Tucker Kraft, they're going to need Christian Watson to continue at the pace he's at because he has been phenomenal since he came back.
It's going to be a fun weekend of football, really, throughout the league. So many games impact what happens here in the NFC, including Packers and Broncos. 3:25 the kick Sunday afternoon from Denver. Jason Wilde, check out his work at channel3000.com and Talking Football with Tausch every morning on ESPN Wisconsin from 9 to noon. Always appreciate it, Jason. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, everybody, take care. Be good.